Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, not known as J-Bon, but more often known as Andrew, with me as always.
Today, I'm just flabbergasted, but, you know me, you know the intro, it's your boy Mike.
Yeah, flabbergasted, I know.
We had a previous conversation, I'm just getting fucked out right now, so I'm like, wait, yeah. Intro.
Yeah, it's true. it is Sunday. It is November 8th. We are closing in on the last few podcasts of the year before we jump to the new year, I suppose. Not that I think that much will change, but what have you been up to?
Work, video games, the huge.
Feeling it
too big.
Cool. I've not been up to work. I've been up to working on work.
Ooh,
been applying to some jobs, and who knows? We'll see what happens.
Some good news.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think people have known for a while that I've wanted to get into the industry more full time, you know, and have a real job. So I've been making strides to try and make that happen. So. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up working at, like, Target. You know?
It is what it is, right?
Work at Target, Home Depot, or whatever until I can make it happen. But, mm-hmm. You know, I've got several applications in to different places.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I'd like to be able to not have to move because logistically that would be easier. But, you know, a couple of the jobs are on the West Coast, as most tend to be. For gaming stuff, I'm not jinxing myself. I'm not saying anything about where, what, who, why.
Oh
why.
No, yeah.
But so that's you know, and then I've just been I was streaming a little bit more frequently this past week. Streamed a couple times because I finally gave up on OBS.
Right.
I gave up on OBS and I went back to XSplit, and it works.
Seems to work better.
It works at all. Like, you know, with OBS, for whatever reason, on Windows 10, the Elgato just does not want to work. It just won't. The second I change anything, it disconnected. And I read on the forums, people were having the same issue, but, like, for a long period of time. Like, it's not, I don't know that it's a Windows 10 thing. I think Windows 10 is probably making it worse. But there's a bunch of posts in the forums just being like, I changed the setting on my Elgato and it disconnects and won't recognize an OBS. But if I open up the Elgato game capture software, like their proprietary streaming software, it recognizes instantly. And so I said, screw it, I'll just use the game capture software because they've, you know, updated it and it's in beta with like having face cam and green screen and you can do your Twitch alerts and stuff. And it just crashes every single time. It claims my computer is not powerful enough to run it, which makes me think that the computer, not that the computer isn't powerful enough, but that the software is not fully optimized in beta. Because if I can run OBS and run XSplit, and you're telling with more stuff than what the Elgato software even allows, I would think that means that the program is not optimized yet.
Right, I'd imagine, yeah.
You know, because if I can stream and play games and do stuff with other software, then your software should also be functional.
For work,
as well.
Yeah, it should
work.
Should
just work. So whatever, so that crashes. But then, so I was like, you know, I still was fighting with OBS. So what I would do is I would open OBS and I would open the Elgato software and I would screen cap the region in the Elgato software of the display.
Right. That way.
But the problem was because it's delayed to the software as it is by like a few seconds because one, it's USB and the software itself is never like one. It's not in line with my TV. So I had to figure out the delay for everything so that it would all match up. So I ended up basically having to force the delay on my own stream by like 15 seconds. So that the face cam and the audio matched up with the delayed input of the PS4 or whatever, you know, the Xbox One or
whatever.
So that was a no-no. Had to go ahead and scrap that. Because it looked really good, which was the fun part. Like, it actually did work, but I was just like, I can't have, like, a... Because then... Because you've got to remember that you've got, like, a 28-second delay to from you streaming to Twitch anyway. So I'm like, now we're talking, like, a 45-second delay. Like, there's just no way.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah, being an entire minute behind the stream.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Yeah. So I end up. So, like I said, I went back to XSplit at the recommendation of a friend of mine, Michael Fight, who streams a lot of Destiny, and I've been playing Destiny with him and Sean Bartley. Good times. And so he was like, you know, I just use XSplit. I think he pays for the subscription though, so he has
all the whatever premium or whatever they call it.
I don't know what they call it, but like you get extra scenes. So instead, with the free version, I only get 4, and I don't get the transitions between scenes. It just kind of switches to them. You get, like, 12-plus scenes, I think. And then you can stream in higher quality. Like, I can't stream in 1080p. I can only stream 720 at a max of 29.97 frames per second, which is perfectly good for me because when I pull video from my Elgato, I pull it at 720. 30 frames because that's what the device I can pull 1080p 30 frames. I just usually don't because I can't stream it in 1080p, so there's no point.
Yeah, exactly.
So I pull at 720 30 because I have the older Elgato, which only pulls 30 frames a second anyways. Like the new HD one that would pull 60 frames, but I don't, it's one of those things that just, it doesn't matter. I can't stream, like if I pull 60 frames, I can't stream it at 60 frames. So it's like, I don't see a reason to overwork either hardware or the PC for no reason. So I went back to XSplit. I've got my, I've got the face cam, even though I don't particularly like this webcam, but I think it's just because I don't have very good lighting. So I might.
That bad.
It's okay, but it's not, I don't know. I'm on the fence with it. So I need to, I think I might buy one of those little umbrella light things, like the photo studio lights.
Oh yeah.
So I can get more even light.
Yeah. Cause
like right now I've got a closet light on one side, which is just a 24-inch fluorescent tube. And then I've got a 3-tree lamp, and the 3-tree lamp is fantastic because it has 3 different bulbs in each thing. So no matter what, the light coming from it is not even the same because I have a regular compact fluorescent in the top, and then I have an LED bulb in the middle one because I went in like a really weird energy efficiency kick, and so I started switching everything out to like energy efficient stuff and unplugging. And so I was like, you know what, now it doesn't work because it gets dark way too early, but in the beginning phases of when we start to lose sunlight and I just needed like a little extra light in my room, I would turn on the LED, and because it uses no juice, it wasn't a big deal, as opposed to like turning on a CFL, which even those use not that much electricity.
Those, yeah.
And then in my third lamp is a low wattage CFL.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's not the same kind of light. So even though it's 3,
right.
But it, you know, again, like it works. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my green screen that hangs from behind me and I just plop it down. I wish the paper was a little bit wider, or maybe I had shifted it just because it cuts off on one side and then I have to kind of crop the camera weirdly, but
and it's
one of those things, like it works. Like I'm not making, you know, I don't make any money streaming. It's not like people are like pouring in donations or I have a subscription thing and like I need to make sure that the stream is good. It's just one of those things where like I know that it's not impossible to achieve those goals, so it's one of those things where I'm like, I'd rather just take the time and make it nicer because I can.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I switched back to XSplit. I've got, you know, the PS4 is set up. The Xbox One is set up. I actually just re-upped my Xbox Live on that. I was saying how on eBay it was like $35.
Yeah.
So I was like
a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's $60 if it renews automatically. Yeah. So but I went on eBay. Yeah, I grabbed the $35 card, and it says it mails to you, and then like 2 days later the guy emailed me and was like, here's the code, I'm not mailing it. And I'm like, okay. which is fine. It's just one of those things where, like, he's clearly saying that it's shipping so that nobody gives him trouble, because you're not actually supposed to do, you're not actually supposed to do digital codes over eBay for whatever reason.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, you're supposed to mail a physical thing. So he just probably leaves it as that, marks it as a thing shipped, and then just emails me the code.
Emails you the code.
Mm. Which is fine. I immediately went and entered the code to make sure that it wasn't bogus.
Yeah.
And, it worked fine. So now I'm good till 2016, December of 2016 on my Xbox Live. Oh. Which is nice, because it actually extended from when my expiration was. It didn't extend from, like, now, which would be kind of crap.
Huh.
For some reason, I was under the assumption that, like, my entering it now would only give me 12 months from now, but it gives me 12 months from when my initial expires, so it's going to give me the full year, like I want it to. Like,
right,
it
right, right. Yeah, like it should, exactly. Yeah.
Now I just got to scour for a PS Plus deal, because that expires in the same time.
Yeah, I re-upped in August.
Did you buy a card, or do you just
no, I just straight up from the store. I was like, whatever. It's
yeah, that's my thing. Like, it's usually not a bad, you know, big deal, but I'm always like, I wonder if it's cheaper, because usually I can find a deal. Usually I can find something online where I'm
that's what I tried, but most of it was like, oh well, you know. I forgot what website it was, but it was some outrageous thing. It was like, oh, it's cheap, but here's the shipping. I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah. No, that's when you got to get that. That's when I'm like, I was glad that it ended up being a digital code anyways. It said free shipping, but then I didn't have to wait for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Newegg back in the day used to do outrageously cheap deals. Like, I used to get Xbox Live for like $29 a month, for $29 for the year. And it was back when they used to do the 12 plus 1 cards, so it was actually 13.
You got that extra. Yeah, you got that extra month.
But they would mail them via DHL Post, which is, for those who don't know, DHL doesn't actually ship domestically anymore. They only ship internationally. Like, they gave up the fight against UPS and FedEx, so they don't ship domestically. So what they do is they ship it to USPS,
yep,
and then USPS fucking delivers it. So it takes like an extra week to get anything that comes DHL Post.
Yep.
So I always hated that, because they ship it. And the other thing that sucks is the second it goes from DHL to USPS, you don't have any tracking information. You lose your tracking.
Right.
So, but Newegg, it was so cheap. You know, you couldn't argue with the $29 for like 13 months. So that's, I would always do it. And I would always buy like a card or two. And because my brother had the 360 at the time. And so, but when I bought my Xbox Live, it came with a year of
Xbox Live.
So,
too bad.
Yeah. And so now I'm at the, you know, we're at the end of the first year of the Xbox. Basically, is what it means.
Because
I think I got it in November, and I didn't activate the year of gold because I kept using the free trials until it wouldn't let you use games with gold on a trial, which was BS.
Which is weird, yeah.
Because I think on PS Plus trials, you can...
Yeah, you still get to use the games.
Yeah. Because it's like, the whole point is to try them out and see if you like the service. So if you're telling me that the service is limited because you don't actually have the full version, like, it would be like telling you, like, here's a trial for PS Now, but you can't actually play any of the games. You can only just look at them.
You just look.
So what you're telling me is it's like walking into Blockbuster, but I can't actually rent anything.
Exactly. You can look at the case, but you can't have it.
Yeah, exactly. You can look at our pre-printed label that has, like, no information on it. Because effectively, none of these things have information in them. There's not even very many that have screenshots.
No.
I hate, that's actually my biggest pet peeve. Like, give me some screenshots of these games so I can at least see what the hell I'm about to play.
I do that too. I get very visual sometimes. So, like, let me look at it at least. If there's at least no description. And then I'll just go look it up, you know, if I want to read what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually, like, the descriptions always are dumb, you know. In this wonderful adventure, you save the world from the greatest, and it's like, yeah, but you don't, if I can look at the game, I can get a better idea of if I'm going to like it than reading text.
Exactly.
But
exaggerated experience.
Yeah, I mean, because it's always, they've got to have some PR person write up, like, the best line of, two lines of dialogue for their game.
Exactly.
But it's, and that's PS Plus and Xbox Live for you. So if you're looking for a deal, there's Xbox Live cards for $34.50 or $34.99. And they just message you the code if you need to up your Xbox Live. Otherwise, so Tomb Raider, the definitive edition, was free on Games with Gold. I think it was free last month. Or maybe it's this month and I just got it at the beginning of the
month. No, it was last month.
Last month. Anyway, okay. So I grabbed that and I decided that I would play it last night because I couldn't sleep. And played like maybe an hour, hour and a half-ish. And it's female Uncharted. Like it really, totally feels like female Uncharted 2. Like it's definitely more gritty. Kind of Uncharted 2, but like I like it. I mean, I'm not against it.
It was good. Yeah. Like, did you play the multiplayer at all?
No, I didn't jump into multiplayer. I just
played the multiplayer is literally just Uncharted's multiplayer.
That's funny.
Yeah, with like with the shitty net code, as a buddy of mine says. But it's literally just Uncharted's multiplayer.
Interesting. I wonder if anybody's even playing it.
The few months around when I started playing it, people were still playing it. So. Yeah. And it, I wouldn't say it was overpopulated, but it was one of those like, you know, people still check it out.
Yeah, they're playing. So. Yeah, I mean, may get into a couple rounds here and there.
Like, why not? Yeah.
Like, yeah,
why
it's not? Like when we played Uncharted 3 on PS3. The only thing you could do is the lab.
Yep.
Nobody else is playing it.
Playing it, yep.
But it is. I mean, whatever. I'll definitely have to look into it. I'll probably play this game and finish it out, like. Because it seems cool. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, no, it's a game.
But I was just, I wanted to play something different, and I was going through my PS4, and I was like, there's nothing. Like, because I was playing. I
got to play everything.
Well, I was playing Destiny yesterday, like I play most of the time. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try and do some story missions, because there's still stuff I need to unlock and go through. Mm-hmm. And I'm a level 306. Like light level 306 depending on like what gear I have and I was doing a 270 mission and I couldn't fucking beat it. It was just like I was just getting crushed and I'm like, I don't understand how I can be 30 plus light levels above and as a single player cannot beat these levels.
Yeah,
like it was super frustrating. So I like tried like a couple times, and like I even tried like different strategies and stuff. And I'm like, there's just no way. It's not like they need to either drop the spawn rates of enemies, or the buff has to be different if you're a single player. Because when you have all the aggro of all the on-screen enemies, you can't go anywhere. You're just constantly bombarded with shit. Just constantly
shot at. Yeah,
you know, at least if there's two or three people, you know, the aggro is dispersed across those three people. And it's
right.
And so my growing, I tweeted this yesterday, but my growing distaste for Destiny is in the fact that the single line story campaign, you cannot play anymore as a single person. If it's like 250 or above, you know, I find that the levels become so difficult that I just don't want to play them at all. And I can't usually complete them. You know, unless I literally take like 45 minutes and like hide and just kill two enemies and hide and kill two enemies. And like this isn't brutal difficulty on Uncharted where that would make sense. This is like the normal difficulties of levels.
Yeah.
So I'm getting basically ever since Taken King came out, I noticed that it became much harder, and it became that all I would do is patrol missions or like the daily, because the daily is at 240.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Or PvP, except I don't really like PvP that much. So I just, you know, I'm not a big... and it's for the same reasons. I only enjoy playing multiplayer when I'm playing with other people.
Right, no, exactly.
So that's... Like, it bums me out because you never want to play Destiny anymore, and I don't really blame you, but I still
want to
play
it. It's not that I don't want to play it, but it's just... Once you've done enough, you're just like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, all the Taken, all the Taken King missions, with the exception of the ones on the Dreadnought, are just re... you know, they're new versions of the old, you know, missions.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's some that you get to go into different places of...
Right, which is still cool. You know, it's nice to go to the newer places and check different stuff out, but
yeah,
it's like I don't really want to rerun specific things or, you know, or go back through the same strikes that we've been doing just to get shit gear, you know?
Right, well, the chances of getting gear are better than they used to be.
Oh, no, yeah, sure.
The only thing like I really want to be able to start doing is running the new raid. The hard mode, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because what people have been doing is they just run hard mode until they can't, like until they just can't complete it anymore, and then that's it, right? They just bounce out. Because when you run hard mode, you get double drops.
Oh.
So if you run hard mode before running normal, you'll get the hard mode drops and the normal mode drops. The normal mode drops are a max 310 light level, but the hard mode drops are max 320. So you have the chance to get two, you know, 310-ish ranged gear.
Right.
And then you just use those to infuse other gear or keep them depending on if you like them.
Exactly.
So I'm you know, more apt to want to run hard mode Kingsfall raid than
than just run the game.
Yeah. I mean, and some people are actually going back and just running the old raids over and over again just for fun.
Just for which I still kind of want to do that, but
like, because it is stupid easy how...
Right, yeah. Like, I understand, obviously, we're probably not going to get anything, but just...
You'll get year one gear, you know? You'll get year one gear, and, like... I mean, getting Ascendant Shards is fine, because I use Ascendant Shards and turn them into Motes of Light.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean by you're not getting anything, because it's year one gear, so you don't need it, so you can just
dismantling it. I mean, unless you didn't, like, I've gotten rid of pretty much everything in my vault, and then I was like, ooh, crap, I made a new character, and I was, because I'm, the only trophies I'm missing right now to platinum it are Flawless Raider and the character ones. So I need to max out a Titan and a Warlock, and,
I need to max out a Titan and then do the Flawless Raid. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Which you can basically solo Crota and get Flawless Raider. Hug and I were doing it, but we kept dying at this one part because he couldn't. Because the problem is when you have to jump, when you cheese the bridge to jump across, you gotta fucking make it. Because if you die, that's it. You gotta leave and come. You gotta go to orbit and come back.
All over again, yeah.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's the tricky part.
Right. Like, I mean, I'd be down to try it.
Yeah.
One of those just for shits and gigs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Because I'm so close. It's one of those things where I'm not a big trophy hunter, but I was going through the list and I'm like, I'm so close. And they're not, you know, it's not like beat every level without dying.
No.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
I was like, oh, well,
so
shit,
it's one of those things where I'm like, you know what? It's going to pain me to just grind through a character for no reason. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I've got the spark, so I can at least level up one character. So I'm not going to use the spark until my third character. So I've got the Titan, and I'll go to the Titan, and I'll start leveling stuff up and grinding that out. And then I will go from there. You know, and then I'll spark the third character so I can just go right to 25. Because I think you just have to max out all the character trees, you know, and then that's...
That's literally what you have to do, is just max out the character trees.
So if I just, you know, basically just keep grabbing bounties and PvP bounties and then just running strike playlists over and over again, one, I'll have a chance to get some decent gear, and two, I'll be gaining experience either way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if I always do strikes, I'll always be paired with people. Like, if I always play the strike playlist, I'll always have a person in the game with me. And that's kind of where I've been, you know, where my head's been at. Because I'm like, well, at least this way I have assistance.
You have backup, yeah.
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 Otherwise, I'm pretty much rolling solo, and that kind of sucks.
Right, yeah, exactly. no bueno.
Yeah, it's not. It is no bueno. That is definitely for sure. So that's that. Yeah, I mean, that's the Destiny thing. Like, I know I do talk about Destiny a lot, and I do like the game.
I still do like the game. It's just I'm taking an extended break.
I meant for the people listening, because they're probably like, talk about Destiny. I was playing Tomb Raider, and I was, you know, an hour into that, and I enjoyed it. It is much grittier, though. It's much darker than I think I was expecting. Like that, oh man, though, you know, the first scene when the boat, you know, you finally land on the beach and you're like yelling to that girl and you get fucking socked.
Yeah.
I jumped.
Really?
I fucking jumped. Because I'm just sitting there and she's like yelling, and then she just gets like punched right in the face out of the corner of the screen, and I was like, Jesus. I wasn't expecting it at all. Didn't see it coming. And yeah, I jumped. This is why I don't play scary games, guys. Fucking Tomb Raider's got me jumping.
Not even a scary game.
No, it's not. It's just dark.
Super dark. There's a lot of implied.
Yeah, there's a lot of implied things going on, too. But I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to work on upgrading, and so I've just been kind of scouring for salvage. And
I do like the upgrade system.
Yeah. I like the little base camp thing. That's kind of neat.
Oh, yeah.
Base camp thing is cool. For upgrading stuff and all that. Like, the save points and things like that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I also, I still have two betas on my Xbox, like, or alphas, I suppose, and I thought they were like
over.
They're done and over with. So I was like, let me just see, and neither of them could connect. So I was like, son of a bitch. I didn't delete them yet. I deleted the Halo 5 beta off my Xbox. I was hoping that I could just jump in and it would let me play multiplayer. Nope. That's on my list. I want to get Halo 5.
Yeah, I was watching some buddies play yesterday, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick up a bundle on Black Friday then.
Oh, why? Was there an Xbox One bundle?
There's a $2.99 Ultimate Gears of War bundle, so I was like, well, shoot, why not?
Right.
Why not, you know?
Does that come with a remastered Gears of War, basically?
Yeah, it's that remastered Gears game, yeah. And I think it's only the 500 gig Xbox, but whatever.
Yeah, it's Xbox...
$2.99, I'm not...
Right, and the thing with the Xbox is one, me personally, I just don't even have that many games for it, so it hasn't been an issue.
Right, oh,
yeah, and exactly. Two, you can use external hard drives with the Xbox 360, so if you ran out of space, you can just grab an external or just delete it. And yeah, like most people have said, though, it plays games fine off the external, so don't even worry about it. Seagate has a 2 terabyte that's designed specifically for the Xbox One. And so that it's, I don't remember how much it is, but it's designed to, you know, plug right into it and work as a, you know, you play right off the external.
Yeah,
you don't have to play off the,
right off. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. With no, like, you know, no issues, no problems like that. So that's something to keep in mind. I have 100 and something free on my Xbox right now. So, and the Halo 5 beta was 10 gigs, so my guess is that when I delete the other two betas, I'll have, like, another ton of space.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, the only games I own are...
either free, the free ones, or
free ones are,
Warfare, and then...
Yeah, it came with Advanced Warfare. I've got Halo Master Chief, Rare Replay, and then Titanfall. And I don't even play Titanfall, so, like, I could just delete... I don't think anyone else is playing it either, so, like, I can just delete that.
My buddy was saying he picked up Titanfall, and I think he said people were still playing it.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think I played one match.
Still good, I guess.
I'm sure there's still people who play it. Just like,
I heard good things, but yeah, I assume by now people are like, you know, there's other games out, Halo 5 and
yeah, exactly.
Call of Duty, whatever.
Right. Now that Black Ops 3 is out, it's like, who's really going to be working on that game?
Right, yeah, either you're playing Halo 5 or Black Ops 3.
Yeah. I mean, there's still the stragglers on Advanced Warfare, either that haven't upgraded yet or that still play both, but I imagine...
shoot, there's still people that play the first Modern Warfare.
Or the first two.
Yeah.
Because, like, they refuse to upgrade or go to the next games.
Yeah, exactly. The people who are like, I'm not buying another damn
right.
game.
Or they just, they really like those games.
Yeah.
Because I've heard they're still big on PC. I think they're on PC.
Oh, yeah, PC, most of those games are huge.
It's like, it's also, what was it, Counter-Strike people, definitely. Still playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah. Oh, God. But Counter-Strike has at least changed. You know, Counter-Strike is being supported the whole way through.
Right, yeah.
So it is a little different. I don't think they're really doing much in the way of, like, patches for Modern Warfare 1.
Dev, too.
But it is. It is what it is. I don't even.
No, yeah.
But let's get into your topic today.
Oh yeah. Maybe 6 minutes later.
Yeah.
When I texted you about it, yeah. So, game or a game or a game series that were influential or what did I say, inspired by, I believe, something like that.
Let me grab my phone. I'll read it. I'll read it verbatim as you read it to me. What game or game series means the most to you? Real talk-ish topic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So obviously for me, Metal Gear Solid series.
Metal Gear Solid.
Final Fantasy. But I think my biggest one that I remember playing a lot was what's it called? Legend of Dragoon.
Was that a series, or was there only the one?
It was just a game.
Okay.
But it was like a standard, you know, your standard RPG. But it was the story that got me, because it was kind of like a revenge tale.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you find out all these, like, different plot holes that just changes the story entirely. So instead of a revenge story, you're more trying to find out the truth than you are going for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a whole, you know, specific thing that you find out. But I mostly remember it because you got to, like, transform into what they called a dragoon.
Okay.
Which was, like, a specific set of armor that made you look like a dragon. And you could, like, fly. And you had these specific attacks and all that.
Okay.
That's what I remember the most about that game, is that. And it made me want to, you know... It's like, I guess for me, because it was like, oh, it was like Power Rangers. You get to transform and,
yeah,
you know, morph into this ultimate being and have all these powers. So that was, besides Metal Gear and all that, that was one of my games that I remembered and meant a lot to me, because I played it all the time and rented it, like, I don't even remember how many times. I think my dad got mad at me because he'd be like, you keep renting the same game. Stop it.
Right. Yeah, just buy it.
Just either buy it or play something else.
I had a friend of mine he used to tell me this story. His uncle had rented GoldenEye so much from Blockbuster that, like, he just didn't return it, right? And when he went back, they were like, you owe, like, X amount in late fees. And he was just like, fuck that. And he just never went back. He just never went back to Blockbuster ever.
So he just kept it?
Yeah, he just kept the game. He was like, screw that, that's stupid. Because he was like, I'll just buy the game. And they were like, no, you owe this in late fees. And
dang.
And like, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is one of those things where, like, this is the reason why Blockbuster went out of business. It's no different than, like, when library books are overdue and they charge you these ridiculous fees. And it's like, I get it, I'm renting it. But I'm renting a fucking, like, $10 book. Like, if I just... You know, whatever it should there should be a maximum. Like, there should not be, you should not be paying like $500 for a late book. You should be paying like two times the cost of the book. So if the book was $60, the most you can pay is $120.
And that's it.
Because then they've gotten twice their money back for the book, which would probably be whatever the rental fees you overdue had it for. Like,
yeah,
like, because it's like, yeah, you owe $10,000 on this book. Who the fuck would return it?
Right?
Like, who's going to be like, I'm sorry, let me do the right thing and return this book and pay this egregious amount of money?
Yeah, exactly.
This is just absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, I just always remember that story of like Blockbuster being like, you owe like $500 and something in late fees, and him just being like, fuck it. And just like, that was it. He was like, I never went back.
Right.
And if I called my friend up and asked him, I bet his uncle still has the game. You know, with the
I'd imagine, yeah.
Blockbuster say, sticker on it.
If he just kept it, yeah.
Yeah, I used to rent a lot of games. I miss that. I actually really do miss being able to go into a store and look at the things, because I mean, I've always appreciated the tactility of like picking up the boxes and kind of looking at them and like reading the, you know, and just kind of looking at all the movies, mm-hmm. you know, because what we used to do is we'd rent like a game and a movie, and you know, you get the little Blockbuster popcorn thing. And so you'd be like, yeah, we've got this shitty popcorn and a video game and a movie. Right? And we got them for like a week, so we're going to play the hell out of them when we get home from school.
Exactly.
You know, those were the days, you know, and we can't do that now. Now it's you get home and it's like, hey, what do you want to grab off of Netflix, or what do you want to grab off of PS Now? And it's just not the same. You know, the anticipation and excitement factors are immediately eliminated when you tell me that I have them at my fingertips. Right. Like it's, when I have to drive to the store, I'm thinking like, oh man, I wonder what games they're going to have. I really hope they have this one in stock. And then like the whole like when they didn't have the game you wanted in stock, and then you were like, crap, now I got to think of what else I would like to rent. What's number two? Like that doesn't happen anymore. So like the chances of ending up renting an awesome game that you wouldn't have rented otherwise because something else was out of stock. Mm-hmm. Like that's
insane.
You know, I remember renting Sega Genesis games, Contra Hardcore, fucking stupidest, most difficult game ever. I still want that. I bought it.
I forgot what Genesis games I had.
I don't have as many Genesis games as I have. You wouldn't happen to have Nintendo
Castlevania Genesis games, would you?
No. I was aware of Castlevania games, but for whatever reason, we never played them. Like we never owned them, because I don't have Super Castlevania 4. I don't even have Castlevania or any of the Castlevanias on NES. We never had. We never even had Metroid either, which I always thought was weird. Really? But like, I always wonder if like we did have them and they were potentially lost or like borrowed from friends and never given back. But because we, you know, when we first had the NES, I wasn't alive, you know, for the first few years or so that we would have had it. Like I wouldn't have been in charge of any of that anyway. So if my brother had lent them to his friends and we never got them back, like
And it also,
you know, any of the original NES games that we would have had in our collection would have been based on what my brother liked and my sister liked, and those games would not have been in that list.
Gotcha.
You know?
Right.
So, so at least as far as that goes, like, I do have, I mean, I have over 100, and I think I have 117 individual NES games, so I have a pretty good collection. And I do have Metroid now, because it was in with a set.
Eventually you picked it up.
I bought a lot from this guy who lived,
is that
like,
when you were telling about Contra or whatever, one of the Contras, I think?
Well, I got the Super C in a box.
Super
from him,
C, okay.
And so it turns out we work down the street from each other, and had, because he was like, you said you were, you know, you work here and, you know, but you live here. He's like, where do you work? And I'm like, oh, I work here. He's like, I work on like the main drag road of where that was. And so I was like, oh shit. I was like, I'll go meet you, whatever. And I literally like 2 minutes later went and met him and grabbed it. And so that was, I think that was 50 NES games, and in that was Metroid and a bunch of other games that I didn't have, like the, you know, the Nintendo branded games. And there was a couple oddballs, like the Super C box in the game was nice, and then there was a couple light gun games, two turbo controllers, a nice little Nintendo wooden box to store it all in.
Nice.
That was like, you know, from the 80s. That was the one that I thought was hilarious, because on the back of all of the games, the person scraped their social security number into it.
Really?
Yeah, every single game. And I don't think it was him, because I don't think he bought them new. I think he had them and then sold them to me. Like, I think he bought them from somebody else. So every single game, every single controller, the console itself, the accessories, all have a social security number kind of etched into the back of them. Which means that it's useless for me to kind of, like, they're worth-wise, not worth much. Because they've now been, like, marked, which sucks. But it always kind of made me chuckle, because in the 80s, putting your social security number on the games probably wouldn't have been as big a deal. Because, like, identity theft didn't necessarily exist in that way. Whereas, like, now when you're like, yeah, I just put it on, like, 62 items. I just scraped my social into it. Not too smart. Not thinking long term. You just got to do what everybody else did. Write in a Sharpie on the back of the game cartridge, because at least you can take a Sharpie out for the acetone.
It's true.
Or nail polish remover, which is acetone. Okay. Leonard Dragoon. I've heard of the game, never played it.
Never played it?
Nope.
$5 on PS.
Well, because I didn't have a PS. We never had a PS1, so.
Gotcha.
The first time I had a PlayStation 2 would have been, I got a PS2, was years after the PS2
had late cycle.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first game I got was Dynasty Warriors 2. And I got Dynasty Warriors 2 because when my friend who used to live down the street from me, he got a PS2 on launch day. And I remember because he had a birthday party and we went down to the GameStop at the local mall, which is now a fucking McDonald's, I think. His mom was like, okay, you can get, you know, whatever you want, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because he was an only child and his parents were wealthy. So he was like, I want the PS2 and I want this game and this game. And she was like, no, I'll only get you one game. And he was like, I want this game and this game. And it was like, okay, fine. Like, just gave up. And so it was Dynasty Warriors 2. And I don't remember what the other game was. But I just remember having so much fun playing Dynasty Warriors, even though it was a single player only game, and just, you know, we all took turns playing whatever. He had a Dreamcast when it first launched. And I remember he had the connectivity thing, so he had the Dreamcast wireless keyboard, and he had the internet connection on it.
Dang.
With
the disc, like,
yeah, when you put the disc in, and then it had the web browser and everything.
Dang.
Yeah, he had. I mean, he had all that stuff. He had the PS1. He's probably single-handedly the reason I hate scary games like Resident Evil, because I remember we played it in the middle of the dark, Resident Evil 2, right at the beginning when Leon's, like, standing in the fire, and I remember I had no idea what I was doing, and all the zombies attacked me, and I backed into the fire, and I just remember being eaten alive, on fire, and, like, you know, you're dead, and being like, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Damn it.
Yeah, so, but if I was going to pick a game series, it's totally a cop-out, but Super Mario Brothers, you know?
I grew up playing those, you know?
Like, Super Mario and Zelda would probably be the two, because, like, I grew up on the NES, I grew up on Nintendo, you know, and we always played the Super Marios, you know, on NES, we had them all, and then we always played the Super Marios on Super Nintendo. And then, you know, when you got the N64, and then the world just changed you know, you had all of that stuff. And then, you know, Super Mario Galaxy. Super Mario Galaxy could be one of my... I mean, it's in my top, you know, in no particular order. Super Mario Galaxy is in my top five games of all time.
That's one Super Mario game I've never played.
It's fantastic. I never played the second one. Or maybe I rented it from GameFly back in the day. I'm not sure. Super Mario Galaxy 1 is definitely one of my favorite games.
Nice.
And then, you know, I mean, I could say Pokemon, because I've really enjoyed Pokemon as a kid. You know, that's nostalgic for me in terms of influencing, like, friendships I had at school. You know, because everyone was always, every morning before school started, we're always, you know, showing our Pokemon and you know, what did you catch this weekend? You know, oh, I lucked out, and oh man, did you do the missing number 2 cheat thing?
Nice.
You know, we're trading our game packs so that we can play on each other's files and then give them back the next day at school. you know, link up with the link cable and trading Pokemon or battling at recess and stuff like that. But I mean, I would say that probably Super Nintendo and Zelda, Super Mario Brothers and Zelda would be my two biggest franchises. You know, when I look back, like when I look back from today, I can look and be like, oh, you know, Uncharted was definitely,
yeah.
You know, Uncharted is influential in a different sense because when I got my PS3, it came with Uncharted Drake's Fortune. And by playing Drake's Fortune and then going to 2 and going into 3, that was what brought me back into gaming full tilt, which got me into the Sony's Tester Season 3.
Right.
I think that was what was live at the time, which then got me in with Radio PlayStation, which then got me into where we are. And then that brought me to where I am now doing this podcast, so talking to you.
All kind of came full circle, basically.
Well, it's not that it came full circle, but whereas, you know, Super Mario and Zelda influenced my love for video gaming at a young age and brought me through wanting to continue playing video games, the Uncharted series on PS3 is what brought me into this as a, you know, potential career choice, I suppose. You know, it brought me in to the community more so than just being a person who played video games and like wasn't on Twitter. You know, I wasn't active on Twitter when I had my PS3. I never used it at all. But then I started looking up stuff, and that was how I found all this stuff. And you know, fast forward a couple years now, we're here. So there's some nostalgia for that series in that sense. In the sense that it is one of the reasons that I got so invested in the community. Whereas, you know, Super Mario and Zelda are the reasons that I was invested in gaming as a kid.
As a kid, right.
So.
I feel that.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, in the same sense that I can look at, you know, the problem is there's so many things about each. So like, cause I could look at Halo and say that, you know, when we first got an Xbox and we first got Halo and like, you know, the ability to play this campaign co-op, which I mean, you could play Perfect Dark co-op, but it was different.
It was different.
And you know, we're playing this adventure on this, you know, space planet of this Halo, and you know, you're playing on this Xbox that's kind of like a PC, but it's not because it's a console. And you know, that type of experience of playing Halo with my brothers, you know, each time the new one came out and always playing them online, and you know, when we first got Xbox Live and things like that. So you know, there's like, for different reasons, like I don't necessarily find I think the Halo series is good. I don't like what 343 did with it, but you know, am I psyched to get Halo 5 for the same reason I was psyched when I got Master Chief Collection? No. Like that whole nostalgia part is gone. I just am a fan of the games and I want to play them. Much like I really want Uncharted 4, not because, oh, it'll help re-immerse me into the community, more just because I'm excited to play the next line in the series, you know? And it's going to be weird, too, because it's going to be the end of an era. Like, I feel like that Nathan Drake, his
story's coming to
an
end.
I think this story ends with 4, so, like, there's a point of playing this game that's going to be kind of like bittersweet, because I'm going to be like, I'm not going to get to have this kind of experience again this way with this character. It's going to end.
It's true.
So.
It's almost, yeah. Wow. Dang. Yeah.
It's crazy. And I mean, it's similarly to the way that when Halo 3 ended, it was really like, it sounds kind of dumb. Like, it was really sad because I'm like, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Is the chief dead? Like,
right.
Like, what, you know, what happens to the chief, you know? Like, he end the game with wake me when you need me, but, like, what does that mean, you know? And then later in life, meeting with some of the people at Bungie and them being like, no, we thought that was it, you know, we wanted that to be it. You know,
we wanted to have this kind of
uncertainty, but then, you know, 343 took it over and then they changed it, and I personally don't like, and like tons of people were talking about this a while back, were like, oh, Halo 4 is the best. And I'm like, I disagree. I disagree a lot. Like, I didn't like what they did with the story at all. And, like, one of the arguments was, like, it humanized the chief and gave him human emotions. And I'm like, but that's not what he is. Like, he's a genetically modified soldier. You know, he was designed to fight. You know, he chose that life. And it's like, it is, for me, a little weird to then start to humanize him and give him this different side of him. Solely because what, you know, everyone loved about him in the first three Halos was how he acted and how he interacted with everybody. Everyone else around him was very humanistic, and he was not. He was this cold stone, you know, I'm here to fight the Covenant. I am here to save Earth. I am here to stop this from happening, you know?
Do my job,
to do his job. So, you know, then you start changing who he is and who we've known for a decade, and I didn't like it.
Right, so, I understand trying to show a different side to your character, but you can never change that ideology of what people remember of that character.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like if Uncharted 4, you know, Nathan never kills a single person, and he's like, I'm trying to get out of it, and then he just helps the bad guy find the thing, and then he just leaves at the end of it, you know, with no rewards and nothing. It's like, that's not going to happen. That would be weird.
I'm done with this life. I'm going back home, and then, you know, here, all this hard work, it's like, here, I can't take it. Do what you need.
Yeah. So that's, that would be...
That'd be insane.
Something like that. And that's, you know, that's where I'm going with it. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. I get you.
But...
Yeah, I mean, they did a hell of a promotion with Halo 5.
Well, that's the thing, too, and that was what people were getting upset about, was that Halo 5, what we saw back in the teaser trailer with him walking through the desert with, like, the cloak, and then that big monster, like, that doesn't happen in the game at all.
Nope.
And then people were saying that even the Hunt the Truth campaign, which would have been recent to the game's launch, with, like, the two different cinematic sequences of Locke going up to the chief and the chief going up to Locke, like, those apparently never happened in the game. So, like, people were just kind of like, what was the point of this? Or, like, or you look at it from how much did the game change before it came out?
Right.
Like, how badly did you have to edit your own version of the game?
Get people to buy it?
Well, not even necessarily get people to buy it, but, like, you were, for whatever reason, you know?
People bought it because of the marketing promotion.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that and because they love Halo, but I mean,
but I'm saying, time, but I don't think they marketed it that way, knowing the game was going to be different. Like, what happened in that small amount of time where, like, you changed the story they so drastically?
Right.
Or what, like, or at some point, please explain to me what the hell the marketing campaign had to do with it at all.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like, if I would have been new, or I guess newish, like, never played Halo 1, 2, 3. You know, always whatever Nintendo, Sony is like, okay, cool, I'm gonna try. I like this commercial. I like the commercials. I like the marketing. I'm gonna get it. I'd be like, I want it because of that. I want to find out what happens to this character. You know, and then you play the game like, oh well, you know.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing happens to the character.
I got suckered in.
Yeah.
You know, they got me. That's the standpoint I'm seeing it from is something like that where people are just now diving in and like, oh shit, you know. The story's been going on forever, but it's just now going down. Okay, I got to play this.
Right.
I've got to see what happens.
Yeah, I know, and it's not really like that at all. It is kind of weird. I don't get it. I mean, hopefully we know, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, like, again, you know...
Right. Maybe they pulled...
Behind closed doors. Like, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall to be like, who thought this was a good idea?
Well,
that scene in... Tropic Thunder, which one of you is a key grip? Punch that guy in the face as hard as you can. Sorry, man. Whack! Like, that's, you know, that's what I imagine happening. Like, just like, what? What?
Why?
But, you know, whatever. I'm not the one making the game. I don't like it. You know, it's one of those things, like, if they had shown the real game to people, I wonder how much different
it would have been. Or if they were like, hey, we have to change some things because of like whatever, like would there have been a fallout and not that's not being a pun leading to Fallout 4. I'm just curious of like, would people freak out if they were like, hey, the game's different. It's not gonna be what you thought it was gonna be.
I think people would have freaked. I think that's probably why it was different. Is because wait, you're killing off the chief? No, I'm not playing it.
That's effectively kind of what happened in 3. You know, the chief, in theory, can't live in a stasis chamber of half a ship for a long time.
It's true.
You know. Right. And Cortana's just like, well, I guess I'll just sit here then. Thanks, chief. Thanks for, like, wanting to stay with me.
Yeah. You chill too then, ass.
It is what it is. Yeah. I mean, games that get that long in the tooth over, you know, decades of time, you know, undoubtedly will have things that...
Unless...
Yeah.
You play on whatever hardest difficulty is, and then you get the quote-unquote truth.
Oh, you mean like how they always got different endings if you played, like...
hardest difficulty, or you got this heroic, whatever skull.
Legendary, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. Collected this whatever... Do this, do that, and then play on the hardest difficulty, and you get the true ending or whatever.
Yeah,
something like that. Because I know there was like two different endings to Halo 3 or something like that.
Yeah, you just get like a slightly different. You get like a slightly different ending discussion or whatever. It's not like groundbreaking, but
yeah. Allegedly, I read there was something that alludes to that Chief doesn't quote unquote die as they alluded to in the ending.
Yeah, well, because it just says, wake me when you need me, and he goes into the chamber. You know, and he puts his rifle on the gun rack. And then she puts him in cryo sleep, you know.
Mm. Okay.
So in theory, but my thing is he went into cryo sleep half the ship got transported through the portal. The half with the Arbiter. The half with the Chief did not, because he was in the back half of the ship. So he's literally just floating through space... half of a ship, and that's my whole thing. Is like, how long could he have realistically lasted ship that's half, that's been halved? Like, you know, how much power, how much energy? But he's in cryo sleep, so it's like, well, how long can he stay in cryo sleep? You know,
right.
That's my thing.
Interesting. Yeah, it's true.
But I mean, so yeah, that's. I mean, I'm not gonna. When you get your Xbox, we should co-op campaign through all the Master Chief Collection and then Halo 5, and then we'll come back and do like a Halo only podcast.
There you go. We'll do a Halo recap.
It'll be cool. Well, you know what? If you get the bundle on Black Friday, we can do it for like the last episode of the year. We'll do it because that'll give us enough time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that'll work. Sweet.
So yeah, so that'll do it today for episode 45. We might end up on 50 as the last episode for the year. That'd be cool.
I believe so. Yeah.
Pretty damn good, if you ask me. I am shout outless this week. I've been shout outless for a while, and it's because like I always want to shout out my friends. You know, and then I'm just like,
right.
And then I'm like, but they weren't necessarily talked about in the podcast, but I did mention, you know what? I mentioned Sean Bartley and Michael Fite at the beginning when we were talking about Destiny and how I've been playing Destiny with them. So, you know what? I shout out at Sean Bartley and at, I think it's at Bad Advice Fite, but his Twitch handle is Michael Fite and he streams a lot of Destiny. Yes. He's a dapper looking gentleman.
Nice.
He always wears bow ties.
I can respect that.
Yeah. So those are my two shout outs.
Yeah, I'm shout outless. No shout outs this week.
All right. Well, then that's it. We'll end it here.
That's our show.
That'll do it for episode 44 of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at TheDGCast, on Twitch at twitch.tv/DGCastTV. I have been streaming more often. Feel free to come by and hang out. We do post the things to YouTube, and that's the YouTube channel is just TheDGCast.
And like I said with SoundCloud last week, I think I might not even bother with SoundCloud just because it kind of annoys me that I can only post the most recent six.
Right.
But whatever. I'm on Twitter at So After I Said. Mike is at mtong1. And I believe that is all the social media besides the website, thedgcast.com, which you probably already know if you're subscribed to this on iTunes. If you want to be cool, go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
I still haven't even figured out how to do it to rate myself, but I don't know if it won't let me because it's through my iTunes account.
I'm assuming it won't let you do that.
Because, like, giving yourself a 5-star rating would be kind of cheating. But, please do that. It'd be cool if you did. Because then that's how the podcast kind of gets boosted up in the numbers things, and then more people will see it, and more people will listen and be like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
But, anyways.
Okay. And review us on Twitter and whatever.
Just
you know?
follow us on Twitter. Tweet us. Say hi. Just say hi. I'll say hi back. I'll tweet you.
Just know what we're doing. Right, wrong, something.
Yeah, tell us if you want us to play. If you have a game series you want us to play. If it's co-opable, that would be ideal. But
tell Mike to get his lazy ass to stream.
Yeah, do that
Mike
too.
Mike start streaming like Black Ops multiplayer or something like that soon.
Dude, I'm starting to want to pick it up, but I don't want to do this. We always do this where we go to end the show and then we keep talking. So that'll be it for episode 44. As always, we will catch you.
Yeah.